to be part of the day where we just to share and to minister and to worship the Lord and just have a bit of time to hang out and to get to know each other. And while I was beginning to think about what to speak about, it's a number of weeks ago the Lord, not the Lord, Malcolm asked me to speak. And yeah, absolutely. And I had loads of ideas kept coming into my mind, but they didn't really settle. And then the Lord began to say to me that I want you to speak about the Sabbath day, the Sabbath day's rest, and what that's all about. And that really challenged me, and so I've gone to look in the background of that, and I'm going to share that with you this evening. But what was interesting, that when we were travelling out of Dublin down towards Wicklow, the busyness of the city, you suddenly begin to see the mountains, the fields, the space, and everything begins to be put back into context, doesn't it? And that's what the Sabbath is about. It says this: there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. It says this in Exodus. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord." So let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it's sharp and active. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that you'd bring your word to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will anoint those words that I believe you've given me, Lord, and fulfill the purpose for which they're sent. We thank you, Lord, that you want to teach us. You want to empower us to be the people of God, to be something of you in our community. And we just pray tonight that you'd continue that work with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the first time we hear the reference to the Sabbath is in the beginning of Genesis, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this, but I'm just going to rush through a few verses to start with. It says this in Genesis 2. It says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." And when God created man, his intention was that we'd have a relationship with him, that he would share his character and his nature with us. And would be in a place and a space that we would be with God. And you see, when the fall happened, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sin came into the world, God's created order became chaotic. Instead of a place of relationship, instead of a place of encountering God, instead of a place of God sharing his nature and being in the same space, sin created chaos within the world. And so what I'm going to say to this is, we live in a fallen world. We live in a place which is not as God intended it to be. And so instead of the order, the peace, the presence of God, we're left with instead of rest, we rush, don't we? You heard that phrase in the Bible, "Rush around and know that I am God." We are conducted by the world and not by God. Be busy, be busy, be busy, be busy. Do more, do more. Have less time with your family. You need more money, you need to do this. Busy, busy, busy. It's so busy these days, isn't it? And it's incredible, because when I was in London, before we came out here, I was quite amazed how busy it was there. It's unreal in London. And people said to me when we came to Dublin, "Oh, it's really busy here." And I thought, it's not as busy as in London yet. But if we're not careful, it will be. And London's a miserable place sometimes, because people walk down with their heads down, don't relate to each other, because they're so busy. And so when we become so busy, we become physically burned out, spiritually hanging on, we lose hope, we lose direction. We become ineffective. So what is God's answer to that chaos? Well, God initiated the Sabbath to bring order to chaos, to bring us into relationship with Him, so we could enter into God's space, God's world, God's view, God's peace, and God's blessing. What a great place to hang out. And see, God is calling us into His space. It says God created Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. God created Sabbath in order for us to enter into His rest, so that we could have everything we need to do what God has called us to do. It says this, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So God promises to give us peace, but not as the world gives. And my proposition is this, the Sabbath day brings order to the chaotic world and reorders our lives as God intended. When we attend to God, He attends to us. It is for His glory that we take seriously the command to enter into the Sabbath and be a people of peace. And so what is the Sabbath? Well, actually the word means to rest from labour, to stop doing things. In Exodus it says this, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant or your manservant, nor your animals, your aliens within your gates. For the 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then we get the word sabbatical that comes from the word Sabbath, which is an extended time from labour. So often people in ministry, and I think you should do it if there's an opportunity within work, sometimes people give you a period of time off. But it's a time to reconnect with God in our busy lives. And so sometimes people may take 3 or 4 months just to go and hang out with God, listen to Him, get back in touch with Him. And then in the Bible it talks about the sabbatical year. And every seventh year, a year of rest was allocated for the land. And this was to restore the soil so that for 6 days, things were grown in the soil, and on the seventh day it was rested, so the soil could re-neutralize, and so the plants could then grow again abundantly in them. It's also a time for cancelling debt, and it's also a time where the community looked around to see how they could look after the poor. And then we have the year of Jubilee, which is 7 cycles of 7 sabbatical years, so 7 times 7 plus 1 year, which equals 50 years, which is the year of Jubilee. And it says in Leviticus, count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7th Sabbath, blah, 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 it's quite difficult to say, isn't it, of years amounts to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. And so the jubilee was known as the year acceptable to the Lord. Isaiah 61 talks about the year of the Lord's favour. It's in Ezekiel, it's called the year of liberty. In Leviticus and Numbers, it prescribes the blessing that comes from when we take seriously the year of jubilee. You see, God's gift to us is His rest. During World War II, when the war was at its height, munitions factories and things were working 6 days a week because of the war and because obviously they needed to provide supplies for that war. And they thought that if they were going to really to support the war effort, they would need to move from 6 days to 7. And so they did move from 6 days production to 7 days production. But actually what happened was the productivity didn't change. Because people were exhausted. People were tired. They were never created to work 7 days. We all need a rest. We all need a break. We all need to get in touch with God. And so God's gift to us is to enter his rest, so we can enter God's space, God's world, God's view, God's peace, God's blessing, to see the world through his eyes. As I said earlier, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And over the last few weeks, I've been speaking out of Isaiah 58 about God's chosen fast. And it's God's call for us to be a people of restoration. It talks about us being those who feed the hungry, clothe those who are naked, to provide housing for those who are housingless, etc., etc. But what's interesting about this is this, and I'll find it in here, it's Isaiah 58, it says at the end. So if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and a feast on the inheritance of Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. If we are a people who are going to share our food with the hungry, provide poor wanderers with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from our flesh and blood, to be a people who loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. How can we do this unless we are restored? How can we be restorers if we haven't taken the time for the Lord to give us what we need to do his business? So often we've got so little left for the Lord that we wonder why we're so ineffective. If you're burnt out, you've given out, you've lost out. But you see, God is calling us to that place to draw us aside, that we can be empowered by him. We can meet the living God. He can resource us, envision us, and give us everything we need so that we can be effective in those things that he's called us to. A busy church isn't an effective church. A church that waits on God and is obedient to what he's been called us to do changes nations. It's in the Bible. Read it. Isaiah makes another link between salvation and the Sabbath. He says this: this is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. See, God's salvation is close at hand. His righteousness will soon be revealed. But we've got to hold on to honour the things that God has called us to honour. His time, his space, his place. Where are we? Let's enter into it. Isaiah 61 talks about the year of the Lord's favour, and Jesus said this in Luke. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, Jesus came and brought the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus came to bring and confront the world that had fallen through the chaos that had entered the world through sin. God's intention was not that people were blind. God's intention was not that people were deaf. God's intention wasn't that people would be lame. God's intention is that people would be lepers, etc., etc., etc. But sin entered the world, and these things entered the world too. But you see, when the Spirit of the Lord came, when the Lord's favour came, the kingdom of God comes. The blind eye sees. God's kingdom comes. God's order comes to chaos. The deaf hear. God's order comes to chaos. The lame walk, because God's order comes to chaos. The dead rise because God's order comes to chaos. Because God's intention, if you read on in Revelation 21, the new heaven and the new earth, explains of God's intention for heaven. No more crying, no more tears. A place where we have relationship with God, where we're in the same space as God, where he reveals his nature as he intended in the Garden of Eden. So if you turn with me to Hebrews 4, recently I've just begun to read Hebrews and Romans quite a lot recently, because I'm amazed how Paul links the Old Testament and brings it from the old right into our very day, and brings it into the here and now. And so if you turn with me to Hebrews 4, I'll read from there. It says, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And so, for me, when you begin to read this, you realise the Sabbath is not stuck in the Old Testament. The Sabbath is drawn as a principle that we need to bring into the here and now. It says this, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declared on oath, in my anger they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of the disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke to David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. That's a bit challenging, isn't it? When I read that, that really kind of... it's one of those ones you read it first thing in the morning, you kind of spill your coffee, don't you? It says this, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you, none of us, be found to have fallen short of it. So let us not fall short of entering God's rest. Let us be careful to prioritize God in our lives. If you fall short of it, you lack the promises that God wants to give us. It was in the desert that God wanted to give the Israelites the promised land. But they were disobedient to God. His promises were that he wanted to give them a place where they could enter into rest. But they knew better. And you see, the good news was preached to Israel as the good news is preached to us. It says this, they heard the good news, but were disobedient to it. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And I want to say this not to condemn people. I want to encourage people. This, I believe, is a word of hope. It's a word of encouragement in a busy world. God is giving us a means by which we can begin to settle into his ways and into his plans. It says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It says, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient people. God's holding out his hands, and we have the wonderful opportunity to respond to that, don't we? We can enter into that rest. It's an invitation. And that's why we're creating space within the church, like on the hothouse, which is not this Monday, but next Monday night. And the gathering, where we're spending time to be in God's space, to worship together, to hear together, to listen together, to learn how to put into practice what God has asked us to do. And it's a lot easier doing God's ways than our ways. You heard that phrase, how do you make God laugh? Tell him your plans. But God's plans are the best plans, and you don't hear them when you're rushing around. It's interesting, quite often Kath and I, on our day off, we'd walk into the city, and everyone's got their earphones on, haven't they, the old iPods. Zoned in, tuned in. That's great, music's great, I love listening to music. But we're not looking around, we're not picking up what's around us, are we? And I know that I love walking, I love walking miles, and I love getting out into creation where God speaks loudly. When you see a mountain, doesn't that, if you can't believe in God after seeing a mountain, you've got big problems. If you can't believe in God when going down to Wicklow and seeing those beautiful valleys and the rivers and the beautiful rain. Don't you love rain? It's great, isn't it? It comes in due season here. Every season's a rain season. It's great. But doesn't it remind you, it says in Romans 1:20, that God's invisible qualities are shown through creation. We see, we hear, we be in that place. And you see, as I said to you, as I moved away out of the busyness of being in Dublin, I'm not saying you can find God anywhere, but it was just so wonderful just seeing God's creation. It reminded me of him. It reminded me of what it's all about. It reminded me of who's in charge of my life. It's a wonderful place to remember that place, that space. And that's what the Sabbath is about. It's not about, on the Sabbath, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. It's actually, let's be in God's space. Let's settle. Let him speak to us. Refresh us. Encourage us. Build us up. And then we can face a busy world. And it says this. It talks about the gospel was preached, and it said it was no value to the people because they did not combine what they heard with faith. And God wants us to be a people of God's word, but also he wants us to be a people who puts God's word into practice. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. The word is about Jesus. And it'd be silly not to put it into practice, wouldn't it? Because otherwise it's just a book. And you see, faith is trusting in Jesus and being obedient to his word and his ways. If I say time and time again, his ways are not our ways, as mentioned in the middle of the service today, yet again. His ways are so different from ours. But God's ways bring peace, redemption, and transformation. Hang out with God, and I can guarantee you'll change. Because he begins to define and exchange himself, and we become like him. And boy, do we need to be like him. It says this in Hebrews, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we are people of faith, aren't we? We believe what Jesus said, don't we? I wouldn't be here otherwise, would you? It'd be a bit of a waste of time, wouldn't it? If we don't believe in what Jesus does, well, let's go home. It's like a waste of time. But if we believe what God says in his word, and what Jesus says, we've got plenty to be getting on with, don't we? And it goes on in Hebrews, I'll just cut through it quite quickly. It says this, that God gave the model of rest for the benefit of man. So on the seventh day, God rested after 6 days of being busy. And so the Sabbath is that time where God entered into rest. And it's a time where we too enter into the rest. It says this again, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So how do we do this? That's always a good question, isn't it? What is the application? Well, I think the first thing is putting God first, isn't it? The Sabbath is the first day of the week, it's not the last. And I think there's a deliberate ploy there by God, a cunning device. To put God first orders our week, doesn't it? When we honour God with our time, do you know, if we honour God with our time and prioritise Him, every single ministry in this church will be thriving. I was saying to the guys this morning that we've been struggling to find people to pray for people on a Sunday night. Over 80 people have gone to the ministry training, and only a handful of people are around to help. See, if we can't minister in the church, how on earth can we minister outside the church? If we can't just give up just a bit of our time to enter into God's business, to pray for others. Because people sometimes come along on a Sunday night and you suddenly pray for them and God, bang, changes their lives. They want to be part of that. See, we've got to be people who are willing to make the time for God's business. In a busy world, one of the things that I remember one morning, I woke up, didn't sleep particularly well, and I just was going through all the things I had to do during the week, and I was quite anxious, and I was just really thinking, how on earth am I going to do all this? And so I thought, I'll stop and just pray, you know. And so I just sat down, and I just began to say, Lord, you know, and just began to sit down with the Lord. I began to read His word a bit and just say, Lord, please help me here. I just want to give this back to you. And suddenly, I felt God just reordered my day, reordered my time. And I call it like TARDIS time. You go through a little door, and suddenly there's a huge, great room in there. And beforehand, it looked overwhelming, but suddenly the Lord, you enter into this room, and you think, wow, look at this space. And I just found that my whole day changed. I actually took the afternoon off. Because the Lord took hold of what I had to do. And the Lord wants to do that for us. He wants to take hold of our time. And He wants to help us to do what He wants to do in our lives. But we've got to create the space. And we've got to ask Him for that. And as I'm winding up now, and the other thing is, as I wind up here, is that in the Bible, they plan for the Sabbath. And it talks about in the desert when the manna, do you remember the story when they're in the desert and the Lord provided manna each day except on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, and the sixth day you were to pick twice as much in order for you to have enough for the seventh. And of course, some people picked for the seventh as well, but there's no manna anyway. And the manna they had when they did that rotted. But what I'm saying by that is we plan. We've got 6 days to plan for a day off. So can't we do what we're meant to do in 7 and 6 days? We've got to get hold of our diaries. We've got to get hold of our time. And plan in. I think the best thing to do first, put in the God things first. And everything else will fit in. Seek first the kingdom and everything else. So why do we observe the Sabbath? Well, Leviticus says this, and this is a summation of Leviticus 26. Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees, and the summation is this, there'll be rain in due season. I will increase the harvest of the land. There'll be peace in the land. God will rid the beasts of the land. God will chase out the enemy before us. We would become fruitful and multiply. We will establish His covenant with us. We will have abundance of the old grain and the new. He will settle his tabernacle in our midst, so we will know his presence. He will walk in our midst. We will be accepted by him. He will be our God and we will be his people. It's not bad, is it? And so my encouragement is, God wants to bring order out of chaos. God wants to bring his kingdom, his plans, his ways into our life. He wants to bring his godly created order to bring chaos to us. The best way of starting a week is by bringing order to your week, by coming to God, coming to his presence. God's invitation is that he wants us to enter his space, his world, his view, his peace, and his blessing. Amen. Let's stand. So, Lord Jesus, we just want to present ourselves afresh to you, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you for the words of encouragement that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Learn from me, from gentle and humble in spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your example. And Lord, we just want to invite now your Holy Spirit to come and take off our burdens. Where our burdens have become too big and God has become too small. Lord, we want to reorder that relationship now and say we're sorry, Lord, when we've taken the reins. And we try to do it ourselves. Lord, I'm as guilty as anybody else. And there's some here tonight who have lost that peace.